Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Kat. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, Laura.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you've been up to.
Sure. I write queer historical romance, and my next book is called We Could Be So Good, and it is set in, it's a workplace romance set in 1950s New York City, and it is about a kind of hard-boiled reporter who falls in love with the boss's scatterbrained son.
Love this. So you moved away from England, you moved away from the 1700s into the 20th century to 1950s. So what was the research, you know, look like, you know?
It's like, it sounds so obvious, but like there's so much more information available like about the obviously. But the best part is that I can ask my parents about how did long distance calls really work? Okay, would somebody really make a long distance call in this situation? Like that kind of aspect of day-to-day life is, you know, when did paper bags start having handles? Like, you know, just stuff, just like completely like stuff like that, that in a book that takes place longer ago, you would just totally, you would fudge the detail, right? Like you actually can find out and you can find a picture of the place and you can find exactly where the store is or whatever it is. So it's like, it's a much more concrete research process. And also the stakes are a little higher if you get something wrong because people are like no, that didn't happen, you know?
So this was like 80 years ago. So
Right.
It's not even that far. I feel like 1950s is like 30 years ago in my head because I'm like, the 80s. It's just all of the 80s. It's like 1950s, like 30 years ago, but it's like 80 years
like
ago.
I can even make it 40 years ago if I remember that I'm old. You know what I mean? Like that extra 10 years.
But I feel like it's like, oh, I grew up like I grew up watching like news, like, you know, like the whole like the 1950s were like the housewives and like the cooking and the ready meals and blah blah blah. And everyone was buying a house. I don't know how, but everyone had a house.
Everyone had a house. Like it was,
you know.
Interest rates were basically nothing. Of course everybody had a house. But yeah, that's the other reason I wanted to do the 50s, right? It's because the way that the 50s have been are typically portrayed is this like very suburban, white, middle class, heterosexual,
cis.
You know, that's the way it was portrayed afterwards. But it's also like that image was really force fed to people at the time too. You know, like that was in post-war America, that was like everybody was supposed to be, you know, buckling down and having a family and that would defeat the communists, right? Yeah. And so this patriotism gets all mucked up with that like very straight white middle class life. And I just kept thinking there's so many people who are not included in that, you know. This is like really, really obvious parts of the population are not included in this. And so what does it feel like to either not want that life, you know, or to really, really want it and to know that you're not going to get it because like it's structurally impossible for you, right? And that's like the that kind of Yeah, so that set me down the road. That and like I think that I had watched like too much Mad Men at some point, you know. So it was inevitable, really, that there was going to be like a late 50s or early 60s book.
Yeah, in New York City.
Of
So
course, of
what
course.
was New York City like in the 50s? Because we had the idea that we were living in Levittown and the suburbs and Long Island, you know, like
Right.
and taking the train to commute to the big
Right.
city for their big pen's job, and the wife is like you being a wife and maintaining the household.
Of course.
And that's not the life of like half of the people, you know.
No, my parents actually both grew up in New York City. So at that time, right? So they were like, and both of them had mothers who worked, right? Do you know what I mean? Like they were not in the class of people who had stay-at-home moms and vacuum cleaners, and you know what I mean? Like that was just not that that wasn't it. So like, and it, so it was actually really. Everyone always says, like, you know, if your parents are still alive, you know, and you're on good terms with them, like have them talk about their youth, right? I always like, I love my parents. I talk to them almost every day. But it is so awkward to be like, okay, so tell me about your youth. So that way when you're gone, I have like good stories. Like, you know what I mean? But actually, I highly recommend writing a book set in the time of their childhood because it facilitates a lot of these conversations, you know?
Well, my grandmother was, so my great grandparents were immigrated from Puerto Rico to New York City in the before the war, I think in the 20s or something. And they got married. They had my grandmother in 33 in New York City. My grandfather was involved in, he was in the Republican Party back in the day, which is like strange now because I'm like he would not like me. And he was friends with Rockefeller. He was involved in the Puerto Rican movement in that time because a lot of the Puerto Ricans people moved from the immigrated from the US from Puerto Rico to New York in the 1950s. So my grandmother actually got married, had a kid. She was actually like she was teaching as a professor and needed to get a divorce. And in the 1960s, that was not acceptable unless it was adultery. You cannot, a woman cannot ask for a divorce. So she actually went to Puerto Rico for a summer to get a divorce because somehow Puerto Rico was actually like, even though it's a more Catholic country, it was actually like they allow her to have a divorce. So she got a divorce. My grandfather, you know, threatened to get custody. So she went to law school. She was like, I'm not going to take my child away from me, you know? So I grew up like hearing all this stuff because my grandmother, even though like she, my mom grew up in Puerto Rico, my grandmother's still very rooted in the her New York lifestyle and like, you know, the 40s and 30s and stuff like that. And so she was like basically like, you know, she'll take us to New York and like see what she grew up with and all these different things. And so I got like this very feminist idea. So I got like this very like very feminist idea of like how to, you know, survive without a man, you know. Because, you know, at the time, like men had all the power. Like women did not have a credit card, did not have, could not have any like rights and all the different things. And so it's interesting, like imagine queer rights, which were like people like we're not talking about this, and yet it was happening and like it's not acceptable. So, you know, I think it's like interesting, like to look at history, like it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago. And also like the and also a lot of what we look at as like the watershed, like turning point moments of history, like don't like that's not the starting point, right? Like there's a lot of like a lot of people are like, okay, so you know, civil rights happened with like the bus boycotts or like you know what I mean? I'm like, wait a minute, like no, like there were like literal decades of like of people like grinding away, you know, and building coalitions and like, you know, and community organizing. And it's the same way with gay rights, where you have like before Stonewall, right? You have like decades of people sort of like quietly saying to one another, like, we're okay, right? Like, you know, you have more like just starting from this like really, really like basic place of like, okay, let's go, we can like have like a gay book club and like, you know, and like we can, you know, like maybe we'll do like a, oh, maybe we'll do like a sit-in style protest and like slowly gathering steam. And it must have felt not hopeless, like that's not it at all, but it must have like, with when you have so little to show for your efforts at the beginning of a movement, and yet you keep plugging away at it, right? Like yeah. that's like that is like that's a hard, that's hard work.
Yeah.
And
I think it's timeliness. It's timeliness to where we are right now. So it comes full circle because for the listeners, we both live in Florida. So we did our gripes and grins about Florida. And so it's like it's full circle. Like things are, you know, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, we're experiencing them again, you know, in a different wave, in a different place. And so it's like, you know, we can learn, we can use books like this to learn from like what it was like to be like, how can I implement that again, you know, so we don't forget history. So
yep. And then hope, and then like hope is tied in with like work, right? Like that's the yeah. other thing is that like, you know, that it's like, you know, you can retain hope, but there's also the value of sort of grinding away and like, you know, like mm-hmm. fighting for what feels like really incremental change. And I think that's what a lot of people today feel like, is that it feels like, oh God, like up, like more uphill fighting. Are you kidding me? Like we've been doing this for decades, you know, yeah. now we have to fight to get back gains that we thought we had settled, you know, yeah. like that. No, that is actually like, yes, we are actually going to have to do that. And the yeah. only way it's going to get done is with like the grind. So, yeah.
You just got to grind in a day at a time and connect with people who are like-minded.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, and like create that underground network, you know, just like people in the 50s were having the underground network.
Right.
Of
right.
support system and like, you know, so you're not alone. And then that's right. the other part. So
yeah, and we're in the community is the other thing, right? Is yeah. like that forming, like having like bonds of community and knowing that other people are in it with you is like that like that always makes you feel more hopeful.
Yeah. All right. In a hopeful or more lighter note, let's talk some book recommendations. What okay. kind of books do you want to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Sure. So what we were, I'm not sure if this is hopeful, but like the three, when I was coming up with a list, I realized like after the third one, I was like, oh, I just recommended like three books that deal with grief. Okay. However, they're actually really, really hopeful books. One of them is Anita Kelly's Something Wild and Wonderful, which is about two men who meet while hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is like this, I did not know what this was. I did not know that people went on hikes for like thousands of miles and months and slept in tents and didn't have plumbing. Okay. Nothing about this is okay to me. All right. Yeah. And yet, like at the end of this book, like, no, not the end, like 30 pages into this book, I'm like really sad that I'm not going on like this 4,000 mile hike.
Except that you probably miss plumbing and miss like, you know, and having shoes and not having to walk like 1,000 miles and like, you know,
I resent going up to the mailbox. Okay. Like I fully resent it. But like it is one of the characters in this book is dealing with having his family's awful. Okay. And he's experiencing this, like his parting with them. This mild spoiler as like a form of grief. Okay. Like he's mm-hmm. and like that's how he's processing it. And it is so sad, you know, but it's also you're watching him put together a sense of self mm-hmm. where he doesn't need these like awful, useless people. And instead he falls in love with a very lovely man, which is like that's always how the pairing goes, right? Like if you have one person who is not always, but like that's one of my favorites where you have one person who's sort of like at rock bottom. Mm-hmm. They don't think they have anybody. And then they meet like the world's loveliest person. And it is by the end of this book, I was like on my couch sobbing. I did not know why I was sobbing. Like it was just one of those books and it lovely. I recommend it like a gazillion stars. Another one is Kennedy Ryan's Before I Let You Go, which is like, mm-hmm. I'm probably like the 50th person to recommend this book to anybody, but I had really enjoyed a previous book of Kennedy Ryan's mm-hmm. and I was like, I kind of was like dragging my feet on this one because I knew from the back cover copy that it was going to be really, really heavy about like child loss. And I wasn't sure, like, I knew I was going to read it, but I was like, what kind of mental state do I need to be in to like have my heart smashed about this particular issue? And it turns out it's like really, really gentle. Like these two people are it's a second chance mm-hmm. romance, right? And these two people actually have good lives, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're not together anymore, but they both have like good relationships with their community, with their children, with their extended families. And it is really like, and so whatever happens to them, you know that they have like this to fall, like this, that they have this, like this safety, right? And yeah, that's another one. But like, I think I started crying at like page 30 and just like didn't stop. And I wasn't even mad about it, you know? But I really loved that. And then Katie Casey's Diamond Ring is the other one. And oh my God, it's a baseball romance where like, and again, it's a second chance romance. It is so good. It is, this is one of those books where there's no like bleak moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yet there's like something is pulling you through the narrative anyway. It's just super gentle and lovely. It's about a pitcher and a catcher. And like, they're kind of like both at the end of their major league career. And it's like very autumnal, I guess. And I loved it. Like, I honestly can't, I read it. I got an ARC in January. It came out last month, and I think I read it like 5 times, maybe 6 times.
Oh my God, this is like comfort read.
it's comfort, but it's like speed run comfort read. I took this book, like it was like, usually a comfort read happens like over the course of a year, many years, right? Where like this book, like it was, I just simply did not stop reading it.
Yeah.
At any point. Yeah. I have the audiobook, I have the ebook. It's Karina, so there's no actual physical book, but like, yeah. I'd be prepared to like storm the Karina offices and get one. You know what I mean? Well,
like, who knows? If we keep talking about this, we can be like heated rivalry where they brought the real book a few years later. So we just need to keep talking about Katie Casey mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. like, we need to have her real books, like not real books, like her paperbacks need to be out. You know,
we need like them as objects. We need them. Otherwise, we have like an undisclosed list of threats. Okay.
Yes. Yes. We accomplished this with virtual read. We can do this with Katie Casey.
We can do this. Like, we can do this.
Yes. And I have a recommendation for your Pacific Crest Tale. If you haven't read Wild by Cheryl Strayed, you should read.
Oh, that's okay. Actually, I did not realize that was the same.
It's the same track. It's except that she just did it on her own and she had ill-fitting shoes and, you know, and threw them away to the mountain, So, and that's actually about grief too. So,
okay.
Yeah, so it's a good, I think she's coping with the loss of her mother. And so she decides today to take this track, and it's like her whole track from, I don't know, from California all the way to like the mountains or something like that. It's great. I like Cheryl Strayed's, I like her Dear Sugar.
I remember reading that back in the days before we knew it was her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so,
like, oh God. And like, that used to be that had to be 13 years ago. Yeah. Right. And I remember reading that and like, it would make me cry like regularly, like over nothing. You know, these people were fine. They just were asking for like things to just sort of like tweak their life into improvement. And like, that's great.
Yeah,
I absolutely cannot go back and read those. That would be like brutal.
Yeah, I remember reading that. I remember reading Wild, and it was at a similar time of my life where I was like, I was just overcoming like some major diagnosis, like mental health diagnosis, and I was like, actually, like I had graduated out of it, and I was like, I'm living life, and I was like, what does it mean to live life without trauma and like the diagnosis? And it was just like, I had those like texts of someone going through the grief and be like, oh, I can do this. And I was like, yeah, it sounds really good on paper, but that's not going to be, you know, It sounds good on paper to go to just like walk about, you know, linear, like go hike in, you know, for 1,000 miles. That's not my story. My story actually turned out to be I'm stuck in an apartment talking to authors, you know, for 3 years. Like, I did not realize this was gonna be my story, but like, yeah, I spent 3 years talking to
authors. your own Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah. You know?
600 episodes later, this is where we are. So awesome. Kat, tell us where you can find you online.
Sure. My website is katsebastian.com. On Twitter and Instagram at Kat S. Writes. And I have a newsletter too. And like, you can find that on my website.
Thank you, Kat, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.